Hello everyone, I'm so glad you're here. We're going to get in the Word of God in just a minute, and you know there's nothing like the Word of God to give us the abundance of life. Because that's what Jesus promises us, if we just let His Word just sink so deep within our hearts that we're living it every single day. We're going to be so blessed. We're going to experience miracles all over the place.
Amen.
And that's what God does, because He knows that if His children will just obey Him and love Him, He will just let the showers of blessings pour forth upon our lives. And if you believe that, be ready to receive His word. Why don't we go ahead and start off with a word of prayer. Let's come before our Lord God and King. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we look to You now because, Lord, we come as Your children seeking and desiring Your wisdom, Your words that will give us life. And I just pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ, that as Your holy presence just fills this place, we're just going to receive, Lord, whatever You're going to reveal to us today. We're going to let it sink so deep within our hearts. We don't want to leave here the same person. We truly want to be more like Jesus. So, Father, have Your way. As we know, we are truly standing on holy ground because Your angels are all over the place. They're surrounding us with Your love, Your peace, and Your joy. We thank You, Lord, for what You're going to do in this time. We give You shouts of praise. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray all these things. And everyone says,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God and praise God. Well, as you all know, for the past 3 weeks, we've been doing a series called New Year Resolution Killers. And we talk about the very things that can kill all the resolution or goals that we have made for the new year. And just to recap what we discussed, you know, the first week we talked about what? You guys remember? Procrastination. And what can happen when we can keep on putting off our goals or resolutions that we have made. And a lot of times we make 1,001 excuses why we don't do what we're supposed to do. You guys remember that? Then the second week we talk about discouragement and how people's words can affect us when we've set new exciting goals for our lives. And we discussed how, remember, how words can shut us down. But we are to listen to the very words of God and be encouraged by His word. Amen? And then the third week, which was last week, we talked about, you guys remember? About pride, yeah. About putting all the focus on ourselves and how to shatter our goals when we think too highly of ourselves. Because we know, the Bible tells us this. He shows us in His word that He will lift up the humble at heart, but He will bring down the proud. And I got to tell you, if you did miss any of these sermons, you can go to www.opendoorchristianministries.org and listen to these messages. And I advise you to listen to them now, not later. And if you want to listen to it later, maybe you should listen to the first message about procrastination. But you know, for the last sermon of the series, I decided, as the Holy Spirit led me, instead of identifying another New Year resolution killer, the Holy Spirit said, okay, why don't we talk about the very things, or identify the very things that will bring life to your lifetime of goals and resolutions. Because you know what? We're going to make goals throughout our lifetime. And this is something I really believe that God wants us to do, to set goals and seek His help as we let these goals come forth in our lives. So I entitled today's sermon, Lifetime Resolutions for the Abundant Life. Lifetime Resolutions for the Abundant Life. And it's not just for the new year, it's for your lifetime. If you're setting goals throughout your life, as you see God, know that you're never alone. He will be there for you. And He will give you the abundant life if you truly choose to live His word. You gotta be dead serious about the very fact that you're gonna live according to His word. Look what it says there in John 10:10. It says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to what? Destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that they may have life. Who's they? Us, the believers. and that they may have it more abundantly. This is what Jesus desires for all of us, that we live life abundantly. Because the devil, he's going to come and try to steal, kill, and destroy. Whatever the Lord's given to you, he's going to try to take it away. He doesn't want you to draw close to God. He wants you to get as far away from God as you can. And we got to realize this is his plan. This is what he wants for us. And we can't allow that to happen. And as we set goals in our lives, we're going to say, Lord, help me to accomplish the very goals that you put forth in my spirit to accomplish. And as you truly live for God, you will see these goals being successful. You'll see them being accomplished because simply you're not doing it your way anymore. You're doing it God's way. So here's the question. Look in your notes. It says, so what can we do to ensure that we will attain success in the goals that we set in our lives? Well, number one here, it says, make sure that our goals not only include God, but he is first priority in all of them. Let me repeat that. Make sure that our goals are not only including God, but he is first priority in all of them. I want you to take a look at the first verse there. It says, in 2 Corinthians 5, 9 to 10, it says, so we make it our goal to what? Please him. And I want you to understand that in all our goals that we set, we got to ask ourselves, how am I going to please God in this goal that I have made? You see, when you go to God and say, Lord, I want to please you with this goal that you put forth in my heart to accomplish. If we can do that, you're going to put a big smile on our Father God's face because you know that you're doing it for him. And it says, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. I want you to understand what that means. Basically, if we are home in the body, guess what? We're here in this physical body. Because our real self, I want you to understand, is our spiritual man. That's what the Bible talks about. So when our spiritual man is in our body, it's in our physical body. But if we are away from our bodies, guess what? We're with Christ. Because our spirit man will live for eternity with Jesus Christ. So basically, what Paul is saying, whether we are here on this planet Earth or in heaven, we make it a lifetime goal. Forever, I mean throughout eternity, to please God. We don't stop pleasing God. Even when we are no longer here on this planet Earth, we're going to be up in heaven. And we're still going to be pleasing God. Can you see that? Just make it that. Your goal, your first and number one goal is to please God. And if you can do that, I got to tell you, you're going to be filled with the joy of the Lord every day. His joy will constantly flow. And you're going to know there's going to be a big change in your life as you can truly live for God that way. For look what it says in number 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things while in the body, whether good or bad. So we're going to be in that judgment seat. And we're going to have to explain to the Lord why we did do or not do the things that he asked us to do. So we got to live life in a way that says, Lord, my life is not mine, it's yours. How can I please you? As soon as you open your eyes in the morning, first thing you ask the Lord, what can I do for you today? And if you can truly live life like that, oh, you're going to see your goals being accomplished. You're going to see the miracles that will take forth in your life. Look what it says here in Matthew 6, 31 to 34. It says, Jesus says, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first what? His kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And I want you to understand, when we seek God first in everything, when we say, okay, I'm setting this goal, but I'm seeking your kingdom first, guess what? God will take note of that. He says, okay, I'm going to help my child because he's putting me first. He's seeking my kingdom. He's seeking what is right in what my word tells him to do. His spirit will just come forth and he will empower you. He will give you all you need to attain that victory. Amen? And that's what God does. Because, you know, the Bible says that when we delight ourselves in the Lord, it is only then that he will give us the desires of our heart. In other words, do you find your greatest joy in the things of God or the things of the world? Let me ask you something here. Which puts a bigger smile on your face? The thought of someone saying yes to Jesus for the very first time because you spent time with this person, telling this person about who Jesus Christ is in your life? Or is it the thought of a shiny red Corvette in your garage? Which puts a bigger smile on your face? Well, I got to be honest with you. Before I came to know Jesus, hey, I said, I'd take that red Corvette. Oh, I'll focus on that red Corvette until it appears in my garage. But, you know, when you come to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, when you fall in love with Jesus, suddenly those things don't matter. Amen?
Amen.
Suddenly, your focus is not on yourself anymore. Your focus is on what you can do for God and for others. I got to tell you, when I hear someone saying, yes, I need Jesus, I want him to come into my life, and that person really means it, man, I just feel like I want to jump with joy. This is what brings me joy, when I can know someone is saying, Lord, I want to do it your way. Help me. And you can just imagine the angels that are rejoicing in heaven. Just one soul that has come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. These are the things. This is what eternal perspective is all about. Not focusing on the things that are temporal, that will soon pass away. No, things that you know will go on forever. The very fact that you touch someone's heart and helping that person to come to know Jesus Christ. Wow. Doesn't that bring you joy? It should. Because that's what it's all about. And this is what brings joy to our Lord, when we can truly know that. Because you know what? When our priorities are wrong, our lives will tend to be pretty messed up. And if you can remember that time when you didn't know Jesus yet, man, my thinking was totally messed up. I got to tell you, I only thought about myself. I just thought, I'm the most important person on this planet Earth. It's all about me, myself, and I. You know, in recent years, a head coach, he divorced his wife for 26 years when he left coaching a college team to become head coach of the National Football League team. And I'm not sure which team, but you know, it was a great honor for him, so he said, oh, I'm going to the NFL. And so he said to some reporters that, you know what he told him? He says, he needed a wife while coaching on the college level for social functions. And to show families, hey, I'm a family man, and I'm going to be taking good care of your sons. He's saying this is the reason why he had a wife at that time. And he says, in pro football, though, he said that his wife is no longer necessary. And that she would probably be a distraction to winning. Can you imagine that? That's pretty messed up thinking, isn't it? But that's how the world, some people in the world, they say, oh, nothing wrong with that. But if you know the word of God, you know that's dead wrong. And you know what he said? He said winning football was his number one priority, and his two sons come in second.
Oh,
how tragic is that? But in contrast to this, you know, you heard of Tom Landry? He was a former coach of the Dallas Cowboys. You know what he said? Listen to what he says. He's a Christian. He says, the thrill of knowing Jesus is the greatest thing that has ever happened to me. I think God has put me in a very special place, and he expects me to use it to his glory in everything I do. Whether coaching football or talking to the press, oh, I love what he says here. I'm always a Christian.
Amen.
Christ is first, family is second, and football is third.
Yeah.
Does he have his priorities right? Yes. He does because he knows the Word of God. And he knows Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. That's what the difference is. Because when we don't know Jesus, I got to tell you, our thinking is going to go south. And we're just going to just live a life that is bent on destruction. We got to make sure. We got to tune in to the Word of God. Let him speak to you in ways that will truly transform you. Well, look at number two here. It says, make sure that our thoughts are in line with God's thoughts. Make sure our thoughts are in line with God's thoughts. Because we will only know what God's thoughts are when we do what? We spend time in the Bible and we meditate on His Word. Because it's not just knowing His Word. You got to meditate on it. You got to let the Word come so deep within your heart that you're really living it. That it's truly changing your thoughts and changing your heart about your perception of how to live life in this world. Because when the Word of God is hidden in your heart, His Word will come forth whenever you need His guidance. It's so important. You got to stay in His Word. Because when you do encounter a problem, when you do need guidance, guess what? His Word will just come. Suddenly the verse will just pop into your head. Okay, I know this is God. He's speaking to me right now. That's why it's so important that you must stay in the Word. You must meditate on His Word so that it gets so deep within your soul. You're going to know how to live life. And not just life itself, the abundant life that God promises. Amen? Look what it says here in Romans 12:2. It says, don't live any longer the way this world lives. Let your way of thinking be completely changed. Then you will be able to test what God wants for you, and you will agree that what He wants is right. His plan is good, pleasing, and perfect. It says you will know what His will is, and you're going to agree with Him for what He wants in your life. Because I got to tell you, so many times I hear Christians telling me, so, oh, I don't know if I want to do that. You know, God may be clearly leading this person to do something, but they say, oh, I know maybe that's God. I don't want to follow that. And you've got to understand, if the Word of God touches your heart, follow it. If it's convicting you, say, Lord, I'm going to make it right. Help me to make it right. Because that's the only way you will truly experience God's power in your life. You got to do what it says. It's one thing to say you're a Christian, but you're not doing the Word of God. It doesn't mean anything. You got to be following it. You got to do what it says so that you can truly experience the abundance of what God wants you to have. This is the only way. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians 10:5. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity in the obedience of Christ. And we've got to cast down all the imaginations, all the things that cloud our thinking, all the things that we know are not of God. We've got to cast it down. And we've got to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And that means, if you know this is not of God, this thought just keeps entering your heads. Oh, this is good. This is good. Go for it. Oh, yeah, it's all right. Everyone else is doing it. Go, 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 go. And you know it's not God. You know it's something that will bring forth destruction in your life. You got to capture it, the Bible says. And you got to say, Lord, I'm obeying you. I reject this in the name of Jesus Christ. You go. And you say, Lord, I'm following you. It says, in obedience to Christ, you capture that thought. You reject it. And you say, Lord, I'm living for you. And as you do this, you're going to see what God will do. This is the only way. You got to make a choice and reject the things that you know that are not of God. Look what the next verse says here in Psalm 94:11. The Lord knows people's thoughts. Look what it says there. He knows they are what?
Worthless.
And when I first read this, I go, Lord, you think my thoughts are worthless? And you may ask, why would you think God would even think this, that our thoughts are worthless? I'll tell you why. Because He knows if our minds are not fixed on His Word, we are heading on a path of destruction. If you're always bent on doing things your way because you think you know it all, guess what? You're heading on a path of destruction. But if you say, Lord, I'm staying on this train of thought which leads to your presence, that leads to your blessings, God says, okay, I'm going to take you to my blessings. I'm going to take you to where you're going to experience a constant flow of my presence. That's what we want. But we got to stay on that train where we're going to say, Lord, I'm only thinking of you. I'm only wanting to live for you so that truly his presence will constantly flow. You will truly experience him each and every day. But not only that, because you know, God, he knows that the human heart that doesn't love him, that only loves himself and the things of the world, guess what? This person will only have selfish, ungodly thinking. Look what it says in Jeremiah 17:9. It says, the human heart, this is God talking through the prophet Jeremiah, by the way. It says here, the human heart is the most, that's good. No, it says most deceitful. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things. And desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? Imagine God saying, oh, the human heart is pretty bad. And you kind of ask yourself, why would he think that? Because he knows if your heart doesn't belong to him, it's going to be bent on doing evil. It's going to be bent on just doing greater and greater evil. That's why we got to turn our hearts over to him. It's submitting your heart to him and says, Lord, I'm done. I don't want to do it my way anymore. Lord, here's my heart. Here's my life. I want to live for you. You know, the story is told of a prosperous young investment banker who was driving a new BMW sedan. You know, and he's on a mountain road during a snowstorm. As he veered around one sharp turn, he lost control and he began sliding off the road towards a steep cliff. At the last moment, he unbuckled his seatbelt, he flung open his door, and he leaped from the car, which the car then plummeted to the bottom of the ditch, and it burst into a ball of flames. And although he had escaped with his life, the man suffered a horrific injury, because somehow his arm had been caught in the hinge of the car door as he jumped, and the arm was torn off at the shoulder. And a passing trucker saw the accident in his rearview mirror, and he pulled his brake to a halt and ran back to see if he could help. And when he arrived at the scene, he found the banker standing at the roadside looking down at the BMW burning in the ditch below. And incredibly, the banker was oblivious, and he didn't even know his arm was torn off. He was totally oblivious to his injury, and he moaned, "My BMW! My new BMW!" And the trucker pointed at the banker's shoulder and says, "Hey, buddy, you got bigger problems than your car. We gotta go find your arm. Maybe the surgeons can sew it back on." And the banker looked where his arm had been, right? It's no longer there. He paused for a moment and he groaned, "Oh no, my Rolex! My brand new Rolex!" Here's the thing, right? You gotta understand, there is no doubt when a person's mind and heart are void of God, tend to get a little confused there. More than just a little, if you would agree with me, that what is most important in life. And we gotta understand, we need God to set things straight in our minds and in our hearts. Can you see why we need God so much? Because if we don't have God, we don't have the Word of God, we're going to think, oh yeah, my watch, my car. But if we have God, if we truly are in a state of just wanting more and more God's Word into our minds and into our hearts, oh, you're going to think more of the things that you know are of greatest importance. And it's not about us, it's not about the things we own, it's all about the very fact that we know we have Jesus in our lives, that we are truly living a life that's pleasing him. Amen? Amen. My number three here, it says, make sure that we are not allowing discontentment or jealousy affect us to the point that we are making ungodly decisions. And James 4:2, look what it says there. He says, you want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. Oh, yes. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And this is the thing I want you to understand. A lot of times people say, I'm going to set this goal because, you know what? That person has something I want. And that's a dangerous thing to do. To make a goal based upon jealousy. Because we got to make sure we do not make goals based on jealousy on what somebody else has. For example, you know, someone may say, oh, my neighbor thinks he has the nicest car in the neighborhood. I'll show him. My goal is to work extra hard so I can get a way nicer, way more expensive car. And I got to tell you, there are people that think like that. And, you know, you heard of the term keeping up with the Joneses. And people, they make it a goal. They say, I'm going to do whatever it takes. I got to work 3 jobs. I'm going to do it because I want to be the one that's on top. And this is something that I got to tell you, jealousy will kill your soul. If you live life like this, always wanting to top other people based on material possessions, you're not going to experience the joy of the Lord. Do not focus on these things, brothers and sisters, because this is what the devil wants you to do. And suddenly your focus will no longer be on God. And we got to make sure when we set goals, we got to ask ourselves, are they godly? Are they according to the word of God? Look what it says here in Proverbs 27:20. It says, hell and destruction are never full. So the eyes of man are never satisfied. Let me ask you something here. Do you ever think there will be a time in which there's going to be no more room in hell for souls to enter in? Would that ever happen?
No.
Well, of course not, because the Bible says so. It's right there in front of you. It says that it is never full. The devil is always trying to bring as many souls as he can into his territory, into his kingdom, so that, you know what? His goal is to have as many people as he can to be eternally separated from God forever. That's what he wants to do. He wants it so that everyone will turn away from God. And the devil, I got to tell you, he's always helping mankind think of new ways and new ideas on doing evil. So, you know what? So we can destroy ourselves. We can destroy our lives and destroy each other. And you know what? He could write a book, 1,000,001 Ways to Destroy Your Life. That's what he will hear. And he will want you to buy it. Because he wants you to experience destruction in your life. You got to understand this, brothers and sisters. That's what he's bent on doing. And if we bite into it, we're not going to experience the abundant life that God wants for us. You got to choose the way of God. You got to die to yourself and say, Lord, I'm living for you. And you know, for the worldly man, they are only able to see with their, what, physical eyes, the eyeballs in your head, right? And that's why they're always greedy and desiring more. They don't see with spiritual eyes, just the physical eyes. They see what's in front of them and say, okay, that's not enough. I want more. And, you know, they could have a lot already. And no, say, not enough, more. It's just with the physical eyes. But for the man who is truly spiritual, he sees what God sees because he sees from his spirit. He sees from his soul. He sees from his heart where Jesus lives. So greed can never come in and destroy his life. You see that? Because the Bible says, you know, you heard that song, right? Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Talking about the eyes of your heart. When we are truly spiritual, we don't see things with just our physical eyes. We see things from our heart. And we know it's God directing us. He's helping us to see things that are of eternal value, not of temporal value. Things that we know that will give us truly the abundant life. Amen? Because look what it says here in Galatians 6:8. It says here, those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest what? Decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. Wow. And that's the very thing. If you only live to satisfy your sinful desires, oh, it feels good. Oh, everyone else is doing it. Oh, it looks good. Oh, it pleases all my senses, so I'm going to do it. Look what happens. It says you will harvest decay and death. You will not experience the spiritual life that God wants for you. We must reject it and say, Lord, I only want the things that will bring forth your life. It's a decision we got to make. We got to choose the way of God so we can truly experience the abundance that He has for us. Because it says, those who live to please the Spirit, to please God, there's that word again, to please Him. Put a smile on His face. He says, you will harvest everlasting life. And I got to tell you, that everlasting life starts right now. The blessed life starts right now into eternity as we take our last breath on this planet Earth. It starts now. If you're pleasing your Father God, it starts right now. It goes on and on throughout eternity. But you must choose His way. Amen? Number four, it says we got to make sure that we do not get ahead of God when working towards our goals. Let me repeat that again. Make sure we do not get ahead of God when working towards our goals. Look what it says here in James 4. 13 to 15. It says here, James says, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make some money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, only then will we live and do this or that. And you know the biggest mistake we can make when we're setting goals in our life is to get ahead of God by making our own plans without really seeking after Him first. And you know what? We can also make a mistake in believing that God will bless you later when you already made the decision on your own what you wanted to do. And you know, sometimes I'll hear a person say, oh, I know this is God's will because, you know, I just feel good on the inside about it. Well, I got to tell you, it's more than just a feeling. Did you actually fast and pray and find God's leading through His Word? That's what it takes. You got to be serious. You got to seek Him with your whole heart. It's not just a matter of saying, okay, Lord, should I do it? Okay, it feels good. Okay. No, you got to make sure you fast. There's times you got to fast. You got to give up, you know, food or whatever it is. Maybe, I don't know, a day or so. And you seek the Lord in prayer. You go to Him and say, Lord, show me. And you read His Word and let His Word speak to you. And you see that it's more than just a feeling. You got to really ask the Lord to lead you in the way that you know it will bring forth His blessing. Otherwise, you may be just holding on to your own selfish dreams and desires. It's because what you want to do. And we got to make sure. You got to ask the Lord, is this what you want me to do? Because it says it's His will that we're wanting to live. So it says, instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Don't do something just because you want to do it. Because look what it says here. It says, what is your life? You are but a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. And remember, compared to eternity, that's what it is. It's like a mist. You can, you know, get the lights off. You see it, right? At that moment, then it just fades away. Really, you compare that to eternity, which is forever, that's what it is. It just, and it's gone. And if we look upon our lives like that, realizing, hey, time goes so fast. What are you going to do with the time that God has given to you on this planet Earth? Are you going to make the most of it? Are you going to live for Him so that you can truly experience the blessings of heaven? It's a choice. It's a choice we got to make, and we got to understand God, He will lead us. He will guide us, but He knows that it's up to you. Are you going to make that decision for Him? You know, there's an old legend about a swan and a crane. Just picture this in your mind. A beautiful swan is peacefully gliding along the banks of the water of this huge lake, and he meets up with this crane who is wading about in the water searching for snails for his breakfast. After watching the swan swim gracefully for a few minutes, the crane asked the swan, "Hey, sister, where you come from?" "That local, local swan." And the swan says, "Oh, I come from heaven," said the swan. "And where is heaven?" asked the crane. "Heaven," said the swan. "Heaven, have you never heard of heaven?" And the beautiful bird went on to describe the grandeur of this eternal city of heaven. She told of the streets of gold and the gates and walls made of precious stones and the river of life that is pure as crystal and upon whose banks is the tree whose leaves shall be for the healing of the nations. And in the most eloquent terms, the swan tried to describe the angelic beings who live in the other world. And the many souls that have found their eternal home in this very place. But the crane just seemed unamused, disinterested. And finally, the crane asks, "I just want to know one thing. Are there any big, juicy snails there?" "Snails?" repeated the swan. "No, of course there are no snails there." "Then," said the crane, as he continued his search along the slimy banks of the pool, "you know what? You can have your heaven. I want big, juicy snails." And you know, this fable has deep truths underlying it. Just think about this for a second, brothers and sisters. How many a man will sacrifice his loving wife, his children, and all he owns for what? The snails of sin. How many a man or woman would turn their backs on God's bountiful blessings and provisions because, you know what, it was just not enough or not good enough for them. So they settled for just some good old snails of discontentment. And how many a man or woman would reject God's plan of salvation for their lives because they said, "You know what, religion, it's not for me." And instead, they continue to hunt for big, juicy snails of false hope. Because the devil is saying, "Oh, I got something better for you." The devil is always going to say he's got something better. But we're not going to listen to that. You know, God's plan of salvation is for everyone. He says he doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants everyone to come to know him and come to receive that eternal life that he wants for everyone. And he wants to shower your life with blessings from heaven. Are we going to choose it, though? The question is, what is your big juicy snail that you're holding on to, that the devil has made you to believe that is so special, that is so good, that is the best thing on this planet Earth? What is it? I'm sure, if you really think about it, all of us probably have some big juicy snail that we're still holding on to. God may be wanting us to experience the greatness of his presence. He wants us to shower us with the blessings that come from heaven. But we're holding on to this big juicy snail. I know it sounds kind of disgusting, but I want you to really understand. The devil has disguised it. The devil has made you believe this is what you want. This is the best thing you will ever experience on this planet Earth. Mm-hmm. And it's about time, brothers and sisters, we're going to say, we're going to give it up. I don't want that big juicy snail. I want the presence of God. I want the blessings from heaven. I don't want to desire anything else but God alone. If we can truly live like that, I tell you, God will come in. He will fight for you. He's going to show himself strong in your life. You're going to experience the goodness of God overflowing in your life. And it doesn't stop flowing. It keeps on going. But you got to make a serious decision. Are you really going to live for him or not? Are you truly going to surrender all of you? Not 99.999%, no, 100% over the top. Say, "Lord, I'm not going to even hold on to that 0.00000111 whatever percent. I'm giving it all to you, Lord." That's what it takes, because God, when he knows your heart is real, he's going to come in. It's a guarantee. Because his word says so. And I want you to look at what it says here in Isaiah 33:15-16. Wow, I'm getting out of breath here. I'm so excited with the word of God. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 33:15-16. He says, He who walks righteously and speaks what is right, who rejects gain from extortion and keeps his hand from accepting bribes, who stops his ears against plots of murder and shuts his eyes against contemplating evil. Oh, this is what it says. This is the man who will dwell on the heights, whose refuge will be on the mountain fortress. His bread will be supplied and his water will not fail him. Can you see that? His bread will be supplied. By who? By God. And his water will not fail him. You will have constant supply. In other words, God will constantly provide for your every need. And not only that, he will ensure that the goals that you set, godly goals now, every godly goal you set will be accomplished. You will achieve them because you're doing it God's way. And then the last verse here in Proverbs 16:3, it says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. And that's the key word there, whatever you do. Whatever you commit to the Lord. You know, whatever plans you have made, whatever goals, if you can say, Lord, I'm giving it to you. And you think in your mind, how can I please you with this goal? Every goal, every resolution you make, you put God first. It says here, your plans will what? Succeed. You will succeed. You got to make that choice to say, Lord, you're first. I'm pleasing you first. I'm doing it for you. And the question to ask ourselves, are we willing to give up our big, juicy snails this very day? And say, Lord, I'm not holding on. Because that big juicy snail is actually pretty disgusting. It's pretty yucky. And because when he allows you to see with spiritual eyes, what you thought was so beautiful and so good, suddenly you will recognize, ew! Oh, get that away from you, Lord. That's disgusting. And you're going to say, Lord, just show me with spiritual eyes how I can please you, how I can live for you. Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. Why don't we go ahead and bow our hearts before our Father God. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this message spoken today. And we know, Father, it's your Holy Spirit that guides us and directs us. And I know it's your word that truly gives us life. And I ask you now, Lord, as we heard the message today, help us, Father, to live a life that is true to you. Because we want to experience the abundant life that you want for us. But we know we got to make decisions. We got to reject the things of the world. Reject the things of the devil that we know will truly destroy our soul. We continue on that path. And I ask you now, Lord, as your Holy Spirit comes, Father, in the name of Jesus, fill this entire room right now with your Holy Presence, Father. In Jesus' name, let your presence just flow in the hearts of your children. If the Holy Spirit is touching your heart right now, know that this is real. He loves you, and he wants your heart to turn to him. And you may be a believer. You may say, I've been a Christian for some time now. But you realize you've been holding on to this big, juicy snail that's really causing so much destruction in your life. But you're saying, Lord, I want to be rid of it because I'm tired. Oh, Lord, I'm just so tired. Just being dragged down by this big, juicy snail. I don't want it anymore, Lord. It disgusts me. I don't want it. I want to live for you, Father. I want to take your hand. I want to get rid of this now. I want to hold on to your hand, Lord. Will you hold my hand, Father God, and lead me to your paths of righteousness? Lead me, Lord, to those paths that will lead to greater and greater blessings. Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart right now. Oh, don't resist that, brothers and sisters. Know that he cares for you and he loves you. And if you're saying, Lord, I'm giving it up, and I'm taking a hold of your hand, Father, if that's truly the cry of your heart, this is something you really want to express to God and you're serious about it, with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, can you raise your hand and say, that's me? Lord, I want to live for you. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? Hallelujah. You put your hands down. Oh, let's pray. Father in heaven, you've seen all the hands that were raised. Most importantly, is the hearts behind those hands saying, Lord, I'm surrendering all. I'm giving all of me unto you. Father, I just pray right now that your holy presence will abound in this very place. I'll fill this room, Lord, with your sweet, loving presence. Let your love, your peace, and joy just overflow in our minds and in our hearts right now. Father, I just pray as my brothers and sisters have made this decision for you, that as they step out this very door here, they're going to step into a world where they're going to see, Lord, souls that are crying out for a Savior. And as they truly make a decision to live for you, they're going to tell the world about the goodness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I just pray as they have that right focus, that right mind, that right spirit, that you're going to constantly fill them up with more and more of you. As they decrease, Father, may you increase in every way. We praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now for some of you, you may be asking, you know, Pastor, I've heard people talking about having a relationship with Father God, with His Son Jesus Christ. What must I do? How do I get started? Well, you can start off by praying a simple prayer, but this prayer must come from your heart. You must really want this from God. And if you truly have made a decision, I want to live for Jesus, I want to surrender my life to God. And truly, if that's the cry of your heart, you're saying, Lord, not my way, but your way. I want to live for you. Truly, if you know the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart, and He's telling you, make a decision for Christ. Say yes to Him so that He can welcome you into His family of believers. So that now, this from this day forward, you're going to experience the power, the presence, the blessings of God. And if you're ready to say yes to Jesus, can you raise your hand right now and say yes? I want to receive Him into my life. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Anyone else? Say, yes, Lord, I want to live for you. I'm submitting myself to you. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. Thank you, Jesus. You can put your hands down. Why don't we pray this prayer together? Pray it out loud. Mean it from your heart. You know you're expressing this to our Father God right now. Just repeat after me. Say, Father God, I need you. I give you praise for who you are. I believe in you. And I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, He rose again. And He lives in my heart. I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord. Make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this, so you can hear me, Father God. So that everyone can hear me, and so that I can hear myself, and so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I live for Him, and I live for Him only. Father God, write my name in your book of life, for I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Everyone says, amen. 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 Amen.